The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Can you help me, please? I've had a problem with my health for years and I can't get to the bottom of it. The doctors have run out of ideas.
I'd love to help. My name is Kevin Davis. Our bioresonance system starts with an automated full body scan. It's simply the quickest way to shine a light on what's going on inside, with treatments during the same session.
Right, can you book me in, please?
For the latest health tech at the best price, visit biohealthtech.co.uk today and make us your first choice for a healthier you.
If only I'd found out about you sooner, it would have made so much difference.
You're listening to UK Health Radio. My name is Kirsten Hartwig and this is the Herbal Medicine Show, brought to you by Heartwood Herbal Education. Welcome to your weekly dose of plant power. In today's show, we're focusing on mental health and how to use herbs to improve mental well-being. We have an interview with Hannah Houghton about CBD oil and how best to take it. And in the garden, we look at trees and nuts and seeds and even a white squirrel. This week's music is by Peter Firebrace and Essie Jane, and the news is read by Nick Rowley. Autumn in the garden is all about trees and seeds and nuts. The trees shed their leaves, and acorns and nuts fall to the ground to be gathered by squirrels and used to keep them going until the next crop is ready. The trees are old and huge in the garden at Emerson College, so squirrels do well. We even have a white squirrel. In fact, it turns out we have two. The herbal students saw them last week, which is incredible, since David, one of the groundsmen, and I had just talked about the white squirrel, and he said that it has been in the garden for many years, but he had never seen more than one. We discussed whether it could be the same one every time, or whether there are several generations. I had to Google it, and I found out that squirrels can live for well over a decade, sometimes two. I also found out that white squirrels are rare, but not unheard of in North America, where they come from. The question is, do white squirrels go grey when they get old? They were first introduced to Britain in the 19th century and are blamed for driving the native red squirrels out. I read that there are as many as 2.5 million of them in Britain today, and besides a small number of whites, there are also a few black squirrels in Hertfordshire and Bedfordshire. In the Pyrenees, where I used to live, we had red squirrels. They were incredibly territorial and would make a terrible fuss if the dog and I got too close to their nests. Instead of hiding or running away, they would come as close as possible, sitting at the end of a branch, shaking their fists and tails and screaming abuse at us. The first time it happened, I was too surprised to get the message, but just stood there gaping. What? The dog was smarter and nudged me away before the conflict escalated further, and after that I got used to keeping my distance. We used to collect sweet chestnuts in the mountains and make chestnut bourguignon and roast them over the fire. I've also found sweet chestnuts here in Sussex. There are some enormous trees here. They must be hundreds of years old, and it takes a whole family to reach around them. We've tried. The sweet chestnut was brought to Britain by the Romans when they invaded the country, a long time before the grey squirrels. The Romans brought walnut trees with them too. I sometimes wonder how it works. They must have brought the nuts and planted the trees, either by accident or deliberately, and they became naturalized, like some of the soldiers, I expect. The Romans associated the walnut tree with fertility, and it was their custom to bury a gold coin amongst the roots as an offering to Pomona, the goddess of fruit trees. The walnut tree comes all the way from Persia. I suppose that was once the other end of the Roman Empire. Apparently, the Romans never quite succeeded to take over all of Persia, but only annexed part of it. Hadrian came closest, and we all know that he came to England too and built his famous wall on the Scottish border to mark the northern limits of the Roman Empire. So what did the Romans ever do for us? Well, they brought us sweet chestnuts and walnuts. And English walnuts are now valued all over the world. Apart from being very tasty, they're also very nutritious, packed with vitamin E and omega oils, a good alternative to fish oils. Here in the garden, the raspberry bushes are also bearing an autumn crop, perhaps because of the warm weather. But blackberries are coming to the end of the season, and according to legend, St. Michael the Archangel threw the devil out of heaven on October the 9th. Apparently, he landed in a blackberry bush and was so furious that he cursed the blackberries, making them inedible from that day. The warning may have more to do with the fact that the cooler, wetter weather provides the right conditions for the berries to become infected by molds, making them potentially toxic, as well as giving them an unpleasant appearance and flavor. So, all in all, good advice.
Sometimes the sun can be obscured by clouds, and the moon is never seen at all. Many thoughts never spoken out loud, but silence gives out its own call. Pull of the tides, it's hard to find a way to steer. But don't let it slide, take life as you guide, and there's nothing that won't come clear. And you rise like the spring, blossom falling all around you, and your fruits with so many seeds. All that bound you.
You're listening to UK Health Radio. My name is Kirsten Hartwig, and this is the Herbal Medicine Show.
In the news this week, World Mental Health Week has just passed, and according to the BBC, a Minister for Suicide Prevention has been appointed in England by the Prime Minister, as the government hosted the first ever Global Mental Health Summit. Theresa May said the appointment of Health Minister Jackie Doyle Price to the new role will help tackle the stigma surrounding suicide. The summit was hosted by Health Secretary Matt Hancock and attended by the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge to mark World Mental Health Day. According to statistics body NHS Digital, 1 in 6 people aged 16 to 64 have a mental health problem, and mental problems are on the increase. Women are now more likely to be affected, but men are more likely to take their own lives. Mental health problems tend to start early, One in 10 children have a diagnosable condition, and 3/4 of all mental health problems are established by the age of 24. Antidepressant drug prescriptions have more than doubled since 2006, from 31 to 65 million prescriptions per year. And more people are being detained under the Mental Health Act. But it's not all bad news. Sky News reports that celebrities are raising awareness of mental health problems. From Stephen Fry and Glenn Close to Prince Harry and Lady Gaga, more and more famous people are breaking down the stigma. Prince Harry revealed last year that he has been very close to total breakdown on numerous occasions. He said he blocked out his emotions for 20 years after the death of his mother, Princess Diana, in 1997, when he was just 12 years old. Along with the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, he set up the mental health charity Heads Together. Supermodel Gisele Bündchen revealed earlier this month that she had suicidal thoughts at the height of her career in the late 90s, when she was aged just 23. She said, "Life can look perfect on the outside," and revealed she was prescribed Xanax but did not want to rely on the pills, so overhauled her lifestyle. Award-winning actress Glenn Close had dedicated her life to fighting the stigma surrounding mental illness after she was diagnosed with depression for the first time at the age of 61 in 2008. In 2010, she founded Bring Change to Mind with her sister Jessie Close, who has bipolar disorder. The worst thing that a human can endure is to be marginalized, to be left out, to not have connection. And those with mental illness are the people that fall through the cracks, she told Moneyish. Actor Stephen Fry was diagnosed with bipolar disorder aged 37, which he said was the first time he had an explanation for the massive highs and miserable lows I've lived with all my life. He was suicidal at 17 and spent years drinking vodka and taking cocaine to try and stop the voices in his head. Since his 2006 documentary, The Secret Life of the Manic Depressive, he has been a strong advocate for removing the stigma surrounding mental health. He's been president of Mind since 2011 and regularly speaks about mental health. Singer and actress Lady Gaga has been very open about suffering from depression after she was raped when she was 19 years old. She revealed she had PTSD in 2016 and said she struggles with that mental illness every day. The multiple Grammy award-winning singer has supported many mental health campaigns and said it's important to remind those with traumatic experiences that they are loved and not alone. If you or someone you know is struggling, there are a number of charities to help. The Samaritans are open 24 hours a day. The Campaign Against Living Miserably offers support to men. Papyrus helps people under 35, and the Silver Line helps older people. And of course, Childline is available for children and young people under the age of 19. And if you call their number, that won't show up on any phone bill.
In a world full of personal journeys, it's at the crossroads that we'll meet. There's a time to stay, a time to go your own way, as we learn from the bitter and the sweet. You have something to set up, you have something to let go. Don't you know what it is? Is it so hard to show? Form takes form from the formless, so make sure you reach back to that. Time's born from the womb of the timeless. There's a key that'll keep us on track. In a world where so much is uncertain, it's good when we all pull as one. There's a storm out there brewing, so what are you doing to make sure what needs doing is done? You have something to teach, you have something to learn. Don't you know what it is? Is it so hard to discern? Make your decision and follow your vision. It's not the time to sit on the side.
take what you're hoping out into the open. Now is not the time to hide. In a world where the past rules the present, the future's not made in a day. Keep your mind free and clear, keep your heart without fear, and together we'll find the way. You've got something to give, you've got something to take. Don't you know what it is? Is it so hard to create? From the follies of youth to the quest for truth, the road winds uphill and down dale. Sometimes you get lost, but don't count the cost. Keep right on till the end of the trail. In a world where many are seeking, but they're afraid to even knock on the door. Be like a beacon, don't let your light weaken. What else is your life for? You have something to offer, you have something to receive. Don't you know what it is? Is it so hard to believe? Just watch the seasons, they'll give you the reasons a great tree can unfold from the sea. From north, south, east, west, from sunrise to its rest, we're given everything that we need. In a world where so much is uncertain, it helps when we all pull as one. There's a storm out there brewing, so what are you doing to make sure one needs doing is done?
As we begin to understand that disease is as likely to be caused by the mind as by the body, the importance of a healthy nervous system becomes clearer. Stress is a major factor, and it can make it hard to get enough time to relax and switch off, to get enough sleep, enough exercise, fresh water, fresh air, and fresh foods, which are the basics for health and which can be hard to get right without support, especially when you're stressed or out of balance. It's equally important to avoid the things that make it harder for body, mind, and spirit to cope with the stress levels. So we use drugs and alcohol, sugar and caffeine to lift us up and keep coping. But they blur the picture and make it harder to calm down and connect with ourselves. The pace of life today is faster than ever before, and the pressures we're under can be overwhelming, however young or old, rich or poor, successful or otherwise. The high tempo and heavy demands leave us little time to relax and recharge our batteries. Initiating the change to a calmer lifestyle is where herbs can help. Centuries of experience by medical herbalists have shown that herbs can have a powerful effect on the mind by restoring calm and relaxation and by invigorating the system. One of the simplest ways to relax with herbs is to make a pot of tea and pour it into the bath together with a few drops of essential oils. The warm bath water releases the active constituents and they are absorbed through the skin. If you're not able or willing to have a bath, you can drink the tea and dilute the essential oils in a body oil and rub them into the skin instead. After a shower is a good time. If you've had a long period of stress, anxiety or nervous exhaustion, it's good to get into the habit of drinking herbal infusions several times a day. Start by exchanging some of the coffee and black tea with herb tea. They're just as powerful in their own way, but much kinder to the nervous system. Rosemary, vervain, chamomile, lemon balm, skullcap, valerian, passion flowers, and lime flowers are particularly good herbs to calm and restore the nervous system. To make a herbal infusion, mix up your herbs, take a teaspoon of the mix, and place in a cup or teapot. Pour a cup of boiling water over it, cover with a lid, and leave to infuse for 5 to 10 minutes. Strain and drink 3 to 4 cups a day. Giving children a cup of lemon balm or chamomile tea can help soothe their systems too. and they usually like a bit of licorice root or peppermint in the mix to add some sweetness. Easing tension and increasing relaxation releases energy and can feel invigorating. Oats have a restorative effect too, and having muesli or porridge in the morning is a really good way of starting the day. Valerian is a well-known remedy for relaxation, but it is a bit of an acquired taste, so it's perhaps easier to take as drops or capsules. Hops are traditionally used as a sedative, which may be why beer is so popular. The downside is that hops can make depression worse, so drinking beer when you're down is a really bad idea. Essential oils are useful to uplift and calm. They can be diluted in oil and rubbed on the skin, or diluted in water in an oil burner to improve the atmosphere and be breathed in. Rose is one of the finest herbs for the nervous system, which may be why it's such a popular perfume. Frankincense has an old reputation of creating better connection to the still point inside, which may be why it's traditionally used in religious ceremonies. And lavender is one of our best-loved aromatic herbs. It's calming and relaxing for nerves and muscles and joints, equally useful for anxiety, tension, headaches, and stomach cramps. You can read about it in the next Health Triangle magazine, which you can download from the UK Health Radio website, where you can also find instructions of how to make an old-fashioned lavender sleep pillow and lavender vinegar to use both for cooking and cleaning. Another very helpful herb, in fact, one of the most useful plants on the planet, is cannabis. It is unfortunate that cannabis has such a bad reputation, because there's much more to it than getting high. Aside from this psychotropic effect, it can be used for all sorts of things, from making canvas and rope, paper and clothes, to being a superfood with plenty of vital omega oils. Cannabis oil has been shown to reduce the severity of epileptic seizures and has helped cancer patients too. Some countries are legalizing cannabis, and here in the UK, the oil containing CBD or cannabidiol without the psychotropic effect is now available. CBD oil has shown promising results when it comes to relieving stress and anxiety. Here to tell us more is mental health advocate Hannah Hooton.
Cannabis as a whole, there's so much research going on it at the moment. It's a really hot topic. They've got some great research now on how to ingest CBD as well, and that's the most exciting piece that we've just been working on and had the results back for, which is that if you ingest CBD by lozenge, it gets within your bloodstream within 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you do it by drops, which are the most common and mass marketed method at the moment, it takes 60 to 90 minutes. So that's quite a big difference for someone who is looking for a solution right there and then.
And having it as a lozenge, I suppose, makes it quicker to dissolve in the stomach. Is that the thinking behind it, or
what? Yeah, the delivery system gets into your bloodstream faster, absolutely. Because if you, the idea, it's QIX technology, they call it, but that's why it's lemon and pepper flavoured as well, because the cayenne pepper is designed to help it get absorbed faster. And so it's the whole formulation that helps rather than one specific ingredient, if that makes sense.
Who did you do the research on?
So the research was done on a group of volunteers in the Czech Republic. It was fully GCP compliant though. And we took, in this particular study, it was men and women, but the women were not pregnant or breastfeeding at the time, mm-hmm. so that they were all healthy and within a healthy BMI range. And we took their vitals, we took other qualitative notes as well, such as what their mental effects were throughout the administration to see exactly how quickly it was going in.
So you could measure that in their bloodstream, and could you also measure it in their well-being or anxiety factor?
So you, yes, you can. The results haven't come out on how, so the first results to be published, because this is literally hot off the press, it came out on Friday. The first thing to come out is that it was significantly faster versus the prescription versions and other versions within the market. So the next thing they'll now look at, because it's hard to look at multiple things in a study, this particular study was focusing on time in which it was absorbed. So I'm sure the next thing will now be, let's have a look at the effects. But given that there's been quite a lot of research in this area already, there's been two articles published, one in the Psychopharmacology Journal and one in the Neuropsychopharmacology Journal back in 2011. And both of them show that anxiety, they took a range of subjects, all human, and gave them CBD versus a placebo versus nothing at all. And when they took the CBD, all of them saw lower rates of anxiety, sedation, discomfort, and cognitive impairment. Mm-hmm. So there is the science behind it proving that it does work.
Yes, of course. Yeah, there's no doubt about that, I think. But what's interesting is that what you're saying is by taking it in a lozenge, you can get an immediate effect. And you're saying that because it's, just to make sure I understand, that it's absorbed into the bloodstream faster than if you rub it on your skin or take it as an oil in drops.
Yeah.
Is that...
It was the drops that were compared. So, yeah, you're exactly right. The drops versus the lozenge, it was shown that the lozenge got into your bloodstream a lot faster. And one would then make the assumption, of which I'm sure will be the next piece of research, that the effects then happened faster.
Yeah, and of course that can be very useful for a lot of people who suffer from anxiety. And I just read in the news that antidepressants are one of the most common prescription drugs in the UK, with 65 million prescriptions in 2016. And the problem is that when people want to come off the antidepressants, they have bad side effects, whereas where anxiety is and sleep problems is one of them. So you could imagine that having a packet of a CBD sweets in your pocket would help that. Is that the
Definitely.
Kind of thinking?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, when you look at current anxiety treatments, we were talking about it the other day, there's nothing that really helps your situational anxiety, because let's be honest, if you're going to a doctor and you've got an anxiety disorder, then of course, you know, chances are you do need pharmacology intervention, and that's completely fine and accepted. And, you know, nothing beats medical guidance like that. However, if you've just got something you're anxious about, you know, say you've got a funeral coming up or something like that, then how do you treat that? Because you don't necessarily need or want to go and see a doctor. And particularly given the strain on the NHS at the moment, it might be that you can't see a doctor in time. So how do you, you know, how do you look after yourself, and what's the self-care available over the counter? And at the moment, there isn't really anything that allows scientific proof that it will help your anxiety. But we're hoping this now is the first over-the-counter treatment for it. And given that everybody experiences anxiety at different levels at some point, not everyone needs medical intervention, but not everybody necessarily needs it all the time. It, as I say, it could just completely be situational. And I think that the fact that you're now able to help yourself is a huge factor. It's also liberating.
Mm. So this is classified as a nutraceutical, isn't it? Which means
it
it's not a medicine, but a food supplement. Is that correct? So
yes.
you're not using
and
it for...
It's based on the fact that it's got the vitamins and the European government, the European Commission claims on it. That's why it comes under a food supplement. CBD as a whole is actually still under the novel foods category within the Medical Health mm-hmm. Regulatory Authority, but it's currently being reviewed, our understanding is, by the borderline department within that, because they do see there is a medicinal benefit to it.
Yeah, and I think what's funny about the novel food category, novel foods are classified as foods or substances that haven't been consumed before 1997, I think it is, which makes me smile when you think about cannabis.
In fact, when we first looked into it, it was interesting because the first medicine use of cannabis as a whole was actually in China in 5000 BC, and that's just hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But in the EU, it only counts if it's been used in the EU within, I think it's within the last 30 years, you can have it as a traditional medicine here. I suppose that's why it's now a novel food, because it's ignoring that people have been using it before 97.
When we spoke to them about it, or we spoke to our, the regulatory authority of the pharmacy industry, and they explained that the reason for it was because CBD hasn't been extracted from cannabis mm-hmm. before 1997. That was their argument, which kind of makes sense.
I suppose that's fair enough,
But you're right. As a whole, it's a topic that divides people, but it's also a topic that people are misinformed about quite frequently. In fact, the number one question we still get asked to this day is, will you get high from it? And of course, the answer is no, but that still is, that explains the misinformation that people read based off the headlines and whatever's going in the media at that time.
Yeah, because that's the difference between cannabis and CBD, isn't it? Because that in CBD, you've taken out the substance that makes you high, which is it the THC it's called? Or?
That's right, yeah, the tetrahydrocannabinoid, So they... In order for it to be classified as CBD, there has to be a lower than 0.3% concentration of it, which therefore means that you'll never get high off it. And that, in fact, that is hemp. In order for it to be hemp, it has to have a less concentration than that. So there's never a concern of it. And as you say, that is the big difference between medical marijuana and CBD.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that it's still not, people still aren't aware of it.
Yeah.
This still isn't something that they understand.
So how do you know then how long will it last? If it's absorbed that fast, does the effect wear off very, very fast as well? Or?
No, not at all. And it all depends then on what dose you take.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, a lot of intralads take 3 a day. But it doesn't mean that you can't take them all in one go. I think it's interesting because it's about understanding how CBD works within your body. And when people understand that the endocannabinoid system is already within you, and it's something that when you're stressed or anxious or ill, your body uses to help regulate itself. And so the idea of taking CBD is once you've been anxious or once you've been stressed or ill for a while, that system gets depleted.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're taking this supplement to help boost that system back up to the normal level.
Like you would with vitamin C or?
Exactly like you would with vitamin C. And so while there is a reaction, I think it's about us understanding further. Yes, it tops it up in your system and it helps reduce, but how long it will last will depend on your situation in terms of if you're really, really run down and you've had a chronic illness for a while, chances are it won't last as long with someone who's in a temporary situation or has had a cold for a couple of days and decided to take it to help boost them back up.
Uh-huh.
So it is completely situational, and that's why the guidance is, you know, you can take 3 at once or you can take 3 throughout the day and you can take them every day. Obviously, the more you take it, it ensures your system will continue to maintain, just like a vitamin C supplement, on those optimum levels. And that's why we would encourage that, you know, you do take it on a regular basis.
So is there a maximum dose, a maximum daily dose of it? Is that?
So this is where it gets interesting, because technically, no. And the reason I say technically no is because it's not a medicine. There is, and the research hasn't been done, there's not a guideline amount based around it. Our product, we, because of the formulation of the product, we say no more than three, and that's based on the vitamin formulation as well as based on the others, because ours is a sugar-free lozenge. You take any more and there's the potential for laxative effects. And so that's why our product is based on that. Mm-hmm. But because every formulation is very different, it is really important to read the labeling. And make sure, because there isn't a set CBD quote dose that you should or shouldn't be taking.
Excellent. And the product that you are involved with, what is that called?
It's called Caniquix.
So saying that... this is quickly absorbed, hence quicks.
Well, I wouldn't like to say it, because I'm sure some regulatory authorities would have a nightmare. But, I mean, you can take whatever you like okay. from that name.
Basically, you're the difference between Caniquix and CBD oil, generic CBD oil, is that you have created a formula that is quickly absorbed. And of course, that can be very useful in situations where you suddenly feel anxious. But I
Absolutely.
Imagine that if you're on a if something you take every day, the difference between Caniquix and generic CBD oil isn't that big. Is that correct? Or?
I mean, yes, because you'd be taking the CBD and the same amounts would be in your bloodstream over a period of time. I think it comes down to what's easy, what's accessible, and in my world, what tastes good. hemp has a really strong taste.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste, isn't it? That's
it really
too.
Is.
So can you get it in health food shops and places where you can buy supplements? It's
absolutely, yep. It's available, CBD itself is available in most high street food supplement stores now, and it's actually starting to appear in supermarkets too, and our one is available at caniquix.co.uk.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Hannah, for giving us your time.
You.
It's been really excellent to talk to you and get... to understand CBD and the regulations around it better.
If your life is full of stress and trouble, and the whole thing's just driving you insane, get back on track, take a deep breath, relax, and let the doubt take the strain. If your yin and your yang are like a squabbling couple, the sea of marrow dried up inside your brain, if your blood and chi don't mix and you always need to fix them, let the doubt take the strain. There's only so much you can do on your own, and when you've done that, let it be. Don't muddle and meddle, stand back and let it all settle, 'cause only the doubt can set you free. There's a moment that's ripe for reflection, when it seems there's only loss and no gain. But what's the point in stressing? A curse can be a blessing, so let the doubt take the strain. If your three heaters are all overheating and you're feeling burnt out in that fast lane, you've lost your heart protector, 'cause you're not a yin respecter, so stop and let the doubt take the strain. There comes a point when it's pointless to just keep on
heaping on. So swallow your pride, let the Tao be your guide, and your life will sort out on its own. If your kidneys and your heart are no longer talking, if your lung chi and your spleen are on the wing, liver cheese stagnating and nothing circulating, you need to let the Tao take the strain. If you notice that you've lost your sense of humor, if every little thing just seems a pain, if your Honan Po are out of line and your Shen has lost its shine, it's time to let the Tao take the strain. There's only so you can do on your own, and when you've done that, then just let it be. Don't model and meddle, stand back and let it all settle. Only the Tao can set you free.
You're listening to UK Health Radio. My name is Kirsten Hartwig, and this is the Herbal Medicine Show. This week's quote is by Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was born in Boston in 1803 and died in 1882, aged 78. Emerson was a philosopher and poet who led the Transcendentalist movement in the mid-19th century. Transcendentalism suggests that the divine, or God, pervades nature, and that reality can be understood by studying nature. This is my wish for you. Comfort on difficult days. Smiles when sadness intrudes. Rainbows to follow the clouds. Laughter to kiss your lips. Sunsets to warm your heart. Hugs when spirits sag. Beauty for your eyes to see, friendships to brighten your being, faith so that you can believe, confidence for when you doubt, courage to know yourself, patience to accept the truth, love to complete your life.
Washes over and I breathe.
We've come to the end of this week's Herbal Medicine Show, brought to you, as usual, by Heartwood Herbal Education. Thank you for listening, and thank you to Hannah Hooton for sharing her knowledge on CBD oil, to Essie Jane, Peter Firebrace and Nick Rowley for the music, and to Steve Thomas and Nick from the Heartwood production team for superb technical support. Next week, I'll be reporting from the National Institute of Herbal Medicine's yearly conference. I'll be interviewing medical herbalists in the forefront of herbal medicine today, and we'll talk about understanding Lyme disease, how to use floral waters, and explore the healing potential of medical mushrooms. Please join me again next week for another dose of plant power.